Welcome back to another Daily Walk. And today we have a somber discussion and hopefully addressing one of the issues that many pagans will say about the Christian life. I use the word pagan as in modern day cultural atheists, people trying to refute Christianity. When they'll sit back and they'll be like, well, God killed all those innocent people. He sent them in battle and all this kind of stuff. And what we want to talk about is, no, these people were not innocent. And this is a sensitive topic because it's also one that is highly cultural relevant, and we need an American repentance over it. So let's go ahead and dive on in. So in the Old Testament, the Israelites conquered the land of Canaan, took over possession, and has what we now know as Israel. And in fact, what's going on in Gaza right now, Gaza only exists at the grace of Israel because that land was also handed to God in the prophecies that we are going to have a look at today. So many people object to God destroying the innocent people. The problem is they were not innocent. So we are first going to go and look at the covenant promise by which God gave the people the land. And this is in Genesis 15, 13 through 16. So God and Abraham are in a covenant. God puts Abraham to sleep and passes through the covenant, indicating that God's covenant stands even if Abraham doesn't necessarily carry his end of the deal. And it says in Genesis 15, 13 through 15, God said to Abraham, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, where they will be enslaved and oppressed 400 years. But I will also judge the nation whom they will serve, and afterward they will come out with many possessions. As for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You will be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation, they will return here, for the iniquity of the Amorite is not yet complete. Of course, the 400 years enslaved and oppressed, that is the Egyptian period of time. Joseph is sold into Egypt. There's a period of time where Israel helps co-reigns. Mostly Joseph helps to administer the land of Israel, of Egypt. And then the Egyptians see this people and oppress them because they're not the same. Some things never change, right? And so what ended up happening is that they were enslaved and oppressed for 400 years before finally being called out. And he says here that they will come out in the fourth generation because the iniquity of the Amorite is not yet complete. In other words, the Amorites are in here. They're walking down the initial paths of sin, but they are not yet fully embraced inside of sin. By this time that Israel comes out, and they are told to conquer these Amorite people, they were committing the worst atrocities you ever see. They were literally sacrificing their children to their false gods, murdering their children specifically to please the gods. And they engage in all form of debauchery. They engage in sexual fornication with anybody, everywhere, all the time. It was a absolutely wretched place. People were taking advantage of one another. Nobody had any sense of morality. And the words of what happened to Israel only a couple generations later, there was no king and everyone did what was right in their own heart. Unfortunately, the heart of man is desperately wicked and evil, and that is what leads to a brush of sin. Now, the problem is that even in Israel's time, that those, and the reason God said, wipe them out completely, totally destroy them, do not buy into them at all. That wasn't God being racist or God killing innocent people. That was God killing people so wicked that if they were allowed, they could have taken their sin and passed it on to Israel. And in fact, they did. In 2 Kings 16, 2 and 3, this is just one of many examples. Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, and he did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord his God, as his father David has done, but he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, and even made his son pass through the fire according to the abominations of the nation whom the Lord had driven out before the sons of Israel. So they are borrowing from the previous sinful culture, sacrificing their children. Now, the distinction in 2 Kings, it says he passed his son, and in Chronicles, it says he passed his sons. I think the difference is, as I argued in my book, Hezekiah's Prayer, that since the book of Kings follows the kingly line and the book of Chronicles follows the nation as a whole, I think that Ahaz actually sacrificed many of his kids, but even the Jewish tradition holds Hezekiah himself was sacrificed in this manner, but he didn't die, which also leads to my explanation in that book, why he is the only king we know of that did not die in old age, but did not die in battle either. It makes sense that he was weakened through this false botched attempt that his father had done, and that he finally succumbed to lifelong injuries after that. That's, of course, a little bit speculative, but there is Jewish history supporting that as well. And so you can read more about that speculation in Hezekiah's Prayer, but suffice it to say that the kings of Israel were wiping, were sacrificing their own children to these false gods. And indeed, we find the book of Habakkuk talks about using the Chaldeans to judge the nation of Israel. Also in Ezekiel 21, we're not going to read any of those specific verses, but it talks about God explicitly using these absolutely wicked and depraved culture, the Babylonians, to wipe out his chosen people. Why? Because they walked so far into sin. And what ends up happening is that these cultures are so engrossed in sin. And when a culture becomes so engrossed in sin, see, it's one thing when the culture itself sins, but okay, they let the Christians do their things and that. Look what's going on in our culture right now. Our culture right now, people are being, there was just this last week, a lady was sentenced 5 years for protesting outside an abortion clinic, and that group did not hinder anybody's entrance to it. They were just there praying, they were singing, but that is hardly what you'd call hard time. There are several other people. There was a family in, I think it was in Oregon and Washington State. They were a 20-year foster parent couple, but they would not sign on to the LGBT agenda for fostering. And after 20 years of the most faithful service, they failed to renew their license because they refused to believe in the sexual depravity that goes on in that community. We're talking about things in our culture that are getting so wicked. Godliness is being persecuted and prosecuted in our nation, and everybody is being forced. In fact, New Jersey also this week, in New Jersey, a court ruling said that, now talk about world peace, the Jews, the Christians, and the Islams came together in a joint lawsuit to sue New Jersey to say, we don't want our 10-year-olds learning about anal sex, okay? The judge said, no, you'll have to go to the to let your kids into those courses. We're going to compel them through the public school system to go into those courses, and you can sue afterwards if you think it caused some form of damage. World peace breaks out in unity against this absolute nonsense, and it's crazy, okay? But the problem is that our culture is getting to the point where righteousness is being called wickedness, and wickedness is being called righteousness, and that is the place when horrible things start to happen. But understand, God does not take any delight in this. We have some sections from Jonah. If you remember Jonah, he's told to go and preach, and he's told to go preach at Nineveh. You may not know, Nineveh was the capital of Assyria. Assyria is the people who are being used by God to judge Israel because Israel is involved in sin. The problem is the Assyrians made the Israelite sin look like patty cakes. Okay, it was crazy. So God tells Jonah to go, but Jonah does not want to go. And the reason is Jonah does not want them to repent because he knows that God is merciful. Think about this. This is a guy, he literally wants to celebrate the destruction of these people, but God wants to have compassion on them. I'm going to pull out a few excerpts here from the end of Jonah. Jonah 3:10, when God saw their deeds, that they turned from their wicked ways, God relented concerning the calamity he had declared would bring about them, and he did not do so. But what did Jonah do? What he did is he went out and he sat across the mountain to see if God was going to destroy the city so he could throw himself a party. But we have a little bit of exchange here in Jonah 4:1-2. It greatly displeased Jonah, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, please, Lord, was this not what I said while I was still in my own country? Therefore, in order to forestall this, you know, the repentance and the lack of destruction of Assyria, In order to restore this, I fled to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness, and the one who relents concerning calamity. We have a little bit more discussion, but I want to read the last verse of the book. Should I not have, this is God speaking to Jonah, shall I not have compassion on Nineveh, the great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know the difference between their right and their left, as well as many animals? Now, the people don't know the difference between their right and their left. Some people say, is that children? Some people say that is spiritually blind people. We're not going to argue about that one way or the other. It's not relevant for this particular point. The point is, there are a whole bunch of people who are absolutely wicked. God declared judgment on them. Because they repented, God did not do the judgment. If they didn't repent, God would do the judgment. And in fact, I think it's the book of Nahum, if I remember, talks about the actual fall of Nineveh. Because guess what? They relented, but then they went back to their sin as a dog returns to its vomit, go back into the depths of sin. And so God judged them for it. Now, here is a cultural point. We always want to have relevant discussions as we approach the scriptures. And it begs this fascinating question. And it had a question that sounds, when you were saying it in the midst of the culture, it sounds really bad. But I'm going to go ahead and say it anyway. DHS has warned that in the upcoming June Pride parades, there may be ISIS attacks because, of course, ISIS members are fleeing unhindered throughout the southern border. They are all over this country at this point in time. And me, as a guy who lives around the country, I've seen it, guys. I have seen people traveling at night, way after midnight, in rest areas across the country. We're seeing it all over the place. And it's not young families. It is young men from various nationalities, some of them Mexican, some of them Islamic of some sorts, some of them Jewish, some of them, it doesn't matter. The point being is that Department of Homeland Security issued warnings about this. And so we are put in this difficult position, as will the White House, who is trying to cater to every viewpoint. If ISIS comes in and destroys a bunch of people in these areas, these are the same people that are endorsing the complete decay of our culture. These are the people that are fighting back against us saying, no, I just want to talk about sexuality at an age-appropriate time with my children. We don't need to be discussing anal sex with 10-year-olds in the public school system. We do not want to be thrown into jail for protesting at an abortion clinic when we're not doing anything else. However, every person on that side who has burnt down cities, they had their bail paid by the DNC and had no time at all. Yet grandmothers who prayed at the Capitol on January 6th have been found guilty and are awaiting sentencing for praying in the Capitol. Okay? It begs a question. If Islamic terrorists take out people at a pride parade who are seeking the destruction of our culture, who's the innocent party here? And who's being used by God to fulfill the judgment? Because our nation has moved so far away from godliness. I don't want that to happen. I don't want anybody to lose their life. But we are dealing with a spiritual battle, and we must repent. We must repent. We are standing. We are right now Nineveh. We are Nineveh, and the prophets have been sent to us. Many great pastors, many great people saying we just need to return to sane moral values. And these people are pushing so far that we cannot worship freely. We cannot speak freely. What ends up happening? God uses wicked nations to judge us. Be careful, folks, and repent. We need a national repentance, but a national repentance only comes when we have a personal repentance. Turn back to the ways of God. Because should this happen, should the worst come true, and DHS is correct, understand this, it is not a bunch of innocents. They have openly mocked and rejected the word of God. They have openly caused the death of millions and millions of American babies. They are seeking to sexually pervert your children at every single turn. These are not innocents. But God, as Jonah said, is gracious and merciful and loving. And should we repent and turn back to him, God will relent and we will find peace again in this nation despite our differences. Repent today, folks. Repent today. Thank you for watching this Daily Walk. I did reference the book Hezekiah's Prayer. You can find that in our bookstore or anywhere you buy books online in print, audiobook, and ebook formats. You can have a look at that book. It is one of my better-selling and higher-reviewed books. You might like that. You might like the other books in the Kings of All Creation series. With that, thanks for watching, and I hope that you enjoy your daily walk in our Lord.
Thank you for tuning in. Our Walk in Christ podcast is a listener-supported presentation. For more information about how you can help, check out ourwalkinchrist.com/support or our Patreon page at patreon.com/TomM. That's TOMM. Digital and paperback books are available on several online bookstores or at our website. Once again, the website is ourwalkinchrist.com.